reading from the Hebrew scripture this morning is from Genesis 12, verses 1 through 9. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem, and at the time the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will leave this land." So he built an altar there for the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there he went toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you very much, Ruth. Thank you, Tammy, for singing for us this morning. Powerful, powerful song. And to our new baptized Christians, what a joy. Man, I'm alive. That was exciting. And I didn't get the hose out as I promised. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Randy. You know, we had this all planned, but it just didn't work out that way. Wonderful passage of Scripture. As we take a look at the message, one step at a time. I didn't know where to begin with this. You're going to find out in just a minute. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for a wonderful day of celebration, a time to lift you up in praise, to thank you for touching the lives of two people today as they've come forward to be baptized, to recognize the significance you have in their lives, and pray that they may take that good news and share it with others. As we live life in its fullest, we realize that's one of the awesome and great responsibilities you give us as Christians, to share that good news. You share your good news with us as we study your holy word this day. As we gather in your name, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Where do you start with when you're talking about the subject of just one step at a time? Well, I pondered this in my heart. I struggled with it in my mind, and I thought, well, there's only really one way to begin it, and it's with Forrest Gump. I figured he would be the guy to set us on the right path as we gathered this morning. Let's take a look at Forrest as he prepares for his journey across the United States.
That day, for no particular reason, I decided to go for a little run. So I ran to the end of the road, and when I got there, I thought maybe I'd run to the end of town.
President Carter, suffering from heat exhaustion, fell into the arms of...
And when I got there, I thought maybe I'd just run across Greenbow County. And I figured since I run this far, maybe I'd just run across the great state of Alabama. And that's what I did. I ran clear across Alabama. For no particular reason, I just kept on going. I ran clear of the ocean. And when I got there, I figured since I've gone this far, I might as well turn around. Just keep on going. When I got to another ocean, I figured since I've gone this far, I might as well just turn back. Keep right on going. When I got tired, I slept. When I got hungry, I ate. When I had to go, you know, I went.
And so you just ran.
Yeah.
Now, you wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe me if I told you. But I could run like the wind blows. And from that day on, if I was ever gone somewhere, I was running. And there are some of us who think that's sort of the way life is really lived. We're always on the run, moving pretty fast. But Forrest Gump found out pretty quickly that the only way you can run across the nation is to run one step at a time. Because you see, if you focused on the finish line, you would realize that that race is probably much longer than you had ever imagined, and you probably wouldn't make it. He probably wouldn't have gotten beyond the end of his hometown if he had realized just how far he was going to be running. No. You've got to think about the next step you're going to take, not the end of the race. One step at a time is the only way to run a marathon. Focus too much on the finish line, and you'll never complete the course. Last year, the Washington Magazine reported a wonderful story of Henry Brinton, a Presbyterian minister. And that's what caught my eye, that a Presbyterian minister would be running. And so I read the story, and it was about this Presbyterian minister who was challenged by a Roman Catholic priest friend of his to run the Marine Corps Marathon. Wow. With the leathernecks. Writes Brinton, I had no experience as a runner. And the prospect of running 26.2 miles was daunting. But he said, with good spirit, I needed a midlife challenge. And as I read it, I thought, that's better than a midlife crisis. He said, my priest friend had run several marathons, so he gave me some tips and turned me loose. He said, you have to do the training. Get started as soon as you can. He did. He got started. First day he went out there, was prepared. He had the right kind of shoes, the right kind of clothing. It all matched perfectly. He did all the warm-up exercises that you have to do, did the stretching that was necessary, and went out to do his run. Got on the road, and he ran for 3 minutes. He was totally worn out. He said, I had to stop after 3 minutes because I was gasping for breath. But 6 months after that first gasp for breath, he finished the 2000 Marine Corps Marathon in a respectable 4 hours and 12 minutes. That's not bad for a middle-aged guy. Us older folks might do it just a little bit better. From that time on, Henry says, you know what? I run a marathon a year. I run marathons between New York and Tucson. Run one a year whether I need to or not. Keeps me fit, keeps me straight. And asked how he does it. How do you do it? How do you keep fit? How do you run those marathons? He's simply one step at a time. Just one step at a time. Now, when you read today's scripture lesson, you see The Bible doesn't record everything in there, but if you look between the lines, you can see an awful lot about this record of Abram, or Abraham as he is known after Genesis, the 17th chapter. Abram might have thought that God was just a little bit off kilter when he issued this challenge to Abram. I want you to go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Go, and I will make of you a great nation and a blessing, and you will be a blessing to others. You see, the Lord was calling Abraham to more than 26.2 miles. he was really laying on him an ultra marathon, because the journey he was going to be making was one from Haran in northern Mesopotamia to the land of Canaan, some 500 miles away. And Abram found that the only way he could do it was one step at a time, one day at a time, one year at a time, one generation at a time. Before you dismiss Abram's call as really impossible, surely in those days they didn't run marathons. No, it's an ultra marathon. I don't know if you've heard of ultra marathons. Those are the people who take running seriously. Now, I've run a little bit in my life, but these people are wacko. I mean, they are really running. I'm not talking about a few miles. I'm talking about hundreds of miles in any given race. Bob Brown is an ultra-marathoner. I was reading about him recently. He completed a solo run across Europe in 2005. He ran the whole way across Europe. That same year, Pam Reed completed a 300-mile run without any sleep. It took her 80 hours. She ran for 80 hours, completing 300 miles. 30 years ago, in the spring of 1978, a 53-year-old woman by the name of Mavis Hutchison became the first woman to run across the United States of America. She ran from Los Angeles to New York, a total of 2,871 miles, and she did it in 70 days, the whole way across the United States of America. The first ultra marathoner I met was when I was stationed in Turkey about 30 years ago. We happened to have an Air Force tech sergeant who was an ultra marathoner. I said, "What in the world is an ultra marathoner?" He said, "I just run and run and run and run." "You do?" He said, "Yeah, I just got back from Africa." He had run an ultra marathon in Africa, including part of the Sahara Desert. I said, "Gosh, and you live to tell it? What a remarkable person." As far as I'm concerned, whether you run 10 miles or 2,000 miles, it requires an awful lot of faith to do it. A faith that cannot always see the finish line, but trust that if God gets you started, he'll see you to the end, wherever that end might take you. That's what happened to Abraham. He started out not knowing where he was going. The only thing he knew is that God would be with him at the finish line. Well, that's pretty powerful kind of words for us today. It is the faith of Abraham, who couldn't see the land of Canaan from Haran, but believed that something good was waiting there. He said, God said, "I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, make your name great, so that you will be a blessing." And Abram said, "Wow!" And trusted God from the very beginning. From the beginning to the end of the race. You know, it's the same kind of faith that I saw in Jim and Joni Wren. I've talked about them before. You've heard about them before in years gone by. Jim and Joni Wren are extremely devout, called, loving, wonderful Roman Catholic Christians. You couldn't ask for a finer couple or more devout couple in their faith. And it's about Jim and Joni's baby girl. You remember her name? It's Bridget Carolyn. Named for Carolyn. My Carolyn, who should be back on Thursday at 3:55 in the afternoon. Bridget Carolyn, as an infant, was diagnosed with leukemia. And for the whole family, for Tim and Joan and Bridget and her two brothers, the road to the future was a harrowing one, to say the least. It was filled with sleepless nights for the whole family, but especially for Joni and for Jim. Many nights they wouldn't get any sleep at all. They spent most of it in a rocking chair trying to comfort a child who couldn't be comforted, to hold her close so she would know security. Endless doctor's appointments. For a child, for an infant, you know what that's like. Wow, it's tough enough getting them there the first time. But doctor appointment after doctor appointment. The first years of her life, little Bridget knew absolutely nothing but sickness. That's all she knew. A time when children should be children, when they can have fun, when you can love them and nurture them and see them grow and see them happy. And the only thing she had was sickness. It was a weariness in the family that never ended. And life was turned upside down. I recall talking to Joni one day from, they lived down in Gilbert, Arizona. And I said, "How are you doing, Joni?" She said, "If I could only get a decent night's sleep, I think I would be much better." This wasn't just for a week or two or a month or two. It was for years. Until the day when Tim and Joni took Bridget to the doctor. And they said, "We will never forget those words that the doctor shared with us." He said, "I can no longer find any trace of cancer in her body." Undeniable faith as they looked for the gift of healing. Undeniable faith, one step at a time. I've seen that in the lives of people in our own church. You know them. You know the cancer they have experienced. And you've seen in them the faith that has allowed them to endure through it all. You may have heard, or you may not have heard, about Jack Lucas, a Medal of Honor winner. He just died recently. You may have read it in the paper, seen it on TV, I don't know. I jotted a few things down about him. I thought it was worth sharing with you. This is a kid. They did it in those days, back in World War II. This is a kid, 13 years of age, who lied about his age so he could get into the army and go serve the country. 13 years old. What was he thinking about? He ended up on the front lines in World War II. He fought in Iwo Jima. And there's something about the subconscious mind of heroes, isn't there? That for some unknown reason beyond our imagination, when the need is there, they react and they respond. And when two hand grenades were thrown, he reacted and responded and fell on them. The medic said, "He'll never make it. He'll never pull through this." There was so much shrapnel in him, you probably couldn't tell the flesh from the shrapnel. But with an abiding faith, one step at a time, and 26 surgeries later, everyone was proved absolutely wrong. He survived it. And at the age of 17, stood before the President of the United States. 17! To receive the Congressional Medal of Honor. One step at a time. Don't look at the end, look at the beginning. See where God is on this journey that you take. Abraham finally arrived in Canaan, going far to the ancient city of Shechem. And when he got to Shechem, he looked around and said, "Hey, look, God, I don't quite get it. There's still Canaanites here. What are you going to do about it? Where is my land?" God said, "Not yet." "What do you mean, not yet?" "Not yet." So Abram builds an altar to the Lord and moves on to the Negev, the desert in southern Palestine, where much of the story of Abram was to unfold. God promised to show Abram a new land, but he never gave Abram a timetable. He never said, you're going to leave Haran on this date at this time, and you're going to end up in the promised land on this date at this time. He said, you start out, I'll be with you on the journey. And when you get there, you'll know it. And Abram moves on in faith. And the author of Hebrews writes in the 11th chapter, the 8th verse, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out not knowing where he was going. I think most of us would have trouble with the waiting game that Abram had to deal with, because we don't like to wait for anybody anytime in this day and time. We would really prefer instant gratification. Talk to your kids. Instant gratification. We want it right now. Most of us didn't grow up that way. We had to wait. Now, I remember when I was 16 and I wanted my own car. The way that works nowadays, you say, I want my own car. Okay, what do you want? Well, I want this Maserati. Well, no, a used one. I said, well, I'd like a car. Dad said, get a job. What's that again? So I worked at a produce stand near Carlisle, Pennsylvania, halfway between Harrisburg and Carlisle. Worked at a produce stand. And on the side, I was a huckster. You don't have hucksters anymore. They think they're terrorists. But those are people that walked around with flats of strawberries and blueberries and raspberries going, strawberries, get your strawberries here. People would come out with 50 cents and buy a box of strawberries from you. Of course, you bought them. There was a secret. You bought them for 25 cents. You put another quart box on top of the quart you had and turned it over because it made it look like the box was even more full than it was. It was the same amount of strawberries, but it looked better. Ah, yes, one step at a time. There's an epidemic of sex among children in this day and time. Did you hear me? There's an epidemic of sex among children, with one-third of our young women under the age of 20 getting pregnant. I want children to be children and not little adults. One step at a time. You'll be there one day. I mean, you're going to be grown up one day. You'll be responsible to have sex one day, but not now. One step at a time. We've all wanted to own our own home. Oh, dear, I have this great home in mind. It has everything. You know, the patio is magnificent. It has a swimming pool there on the side, 6,500 square feet. It'll be great. We can start our family there. I realize I'm only 23, but it'll be a good place to start. Now, you know I'm right. That's where we want to start nowadays. We used to think that what you did, it took it one step at a time, one year at a time, and maybe by the time you were 50 or 60, you could afford the kind of home you wanted to live in. If we don't get it now, we may not be able to afford it later. I've been in some of those magnificent, big, beautiful homes without furniture. Oh, yeah, it's really cool. Oh, we'll get it later. And we have all seen what clever financing has done to the dreams of so many in our day and time. One day at a time. And you know as well as I do, and it's something that's not new that I'm telling you, the largest percentage of the population of the United States doesn't start saving till for retirement until just a few years before retirement comes. Take a look at the statistics. You'll see that I'm right. We don't start saving for retirement until retirement is almost here. And then we said, oh, my golly. And what do the financial planners say? If you know what the financial planners say. The financial planner, like Cliff Von Berg, would say, you start off early in your life and you save a little bit at a time. And by the time you're 65, or now given the recession, 85 when you retire, you'll have some money in the bank. One step at a time. You don't wait until the last minute. And then there's the journey of faith that we all take in Christ. You see, Christianity is a one-step-at-a-time religion. Oh, we've sort of imagined it was a one-time deal. We just walked up and said, oh, my heavens, Lord, I am saved. Thank you so much. And that's it. That's not it. That's the first step. One step at a time. You've been saved. Now what? You've been baptized. Now what? You've joined the church. Now what? What are you going to do next? One step at a time. We'll meditate regularly. Find a time during the day when you take a minute or two or three or five or 15, whatever you have. Give it to Christ. Give your day to Christ. Give your family to Christ. Give this world which so desperately needs it to Christ. Spend a little time in prayer as you begin the day. Read Scripture. It's not just for Sunday. See what God can say to you. Join a class. Make worship a habit. Do something for others in the name of Christ. Join a small group. Laugh a little. Forgive a lot. One step at a time. That's what our faith is all about. You see, faith grows in our lives in direct proportion to our commitment and to our obedience. Abram taught us that. It grows in direct proportion to our obedience to the God we serve. No, you don't have to do it all at once. Just begin now where you are, one step at a time. Do something for somebody today that will make them go, wow. Call somebody you haven't called. Write a note to somebody you haven't written to in ages. Grab somebody around the neck and hug them because you haven't hugged them before. One step at a time. And just like you on this journey, just like Abraham, God will be with you all during the way. God led Abraham and his clan to the promised land. He saves Abraham from his mistakes and his failures. He gives Abraham and Sarah a son. I'll have to tell Carolyn about this. I mean, he was 100 years old and she was 90. That's pretty cool, I think. And he continues his covenant with Abraham's descendants forever. I'll be with you. And the story of his obedience continues today in the world's three great religions. Abraham's secret of success is our secret for success. To trust God at the beginning. Because he will always be there for you at the end. At the beginning of the race, trust him one step at a time, one month at a time, one year at a time, one decade at a time, and he'll be with you there at the finish. That's the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.